So, Carl, I have a question for you.
What?
Have you ever listened to our podcast? Have you listened in the car to Eric talking on the radio?
No.
No? Well, if we were to talk about something, what should we talk about? What do you think would be your favorite topic to hear people talk about?
Movies.
What's that?
Movies.
Movies? Yeah, we like talking
At
about movies.
At least I have to get back home. How about I just bring the whole bag up? That'll be it.
Just movies, huh? Nothing else?
What? Movies and soccer, kind of.
Okay, movies and soccer.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
You've just heard Eric's nephew. Explain how that cut came about.
Oh, well, I had family visiting, so that was nephew Carl was visiting. Also, in the background, you probably heard niece Ella, and I wanted to ask, what should we do our podcast about? And very conveniently, they gave us excellent topics, movies and soccer, which pretty much covers the
next couple of we are going to do a World Cup preview, but it will be a slightly different World Cup preview. We still haven't decided what's going to be in there, but it will not be the normal World Cup preview. But this is part one of our traditional two-part summer movie special. And I always feel whenever we do summer movies in particular, I feel like we're coming home because that was our first ever show. Our first ever show was a review of summer.
That's true.
Movies.
It was a couple of things. That was back when we used to actually review movies after seeing them.
Yeah.
Now we just review them without seeing them.
Well, no, we review them by seeing the trailers.
Yeah, well.
But this is year two of our summer movie preview special. Last year we did a two-parter. We cover all the big summer movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, we're ready to roll. Can I digress and be personal for a moment?
Okay.
All right.
Both digress and be personal.
Yes.
Not one or the other.
A very quick 60 seconds, because we're doing movies. A gentleman passed away this week, a British actor called Bob Hoskins. He passed away this week. He died of cancer.
Of Who Framed Roger Rabbit fame?
Yeah, the guy who was Roger Rabbit. He died this week. He was also in... I don't know if he was in the film version of Billy Elliot, but he was in some sort of boxing movie like that. Anyway... I remember him when he was a really young man. This is a free summer movie tip if you cannot make it out to the cinema. If you can find on your cable network or on Netflix a British gangster film called The Long Good Friday, it stars Bob Hoskins. It is a terrific film with twists and turns, but that was just a terrific performance. The guy's renowned back in England as an actor. I just wanted to give him a shout out this week because he passed away this week. But again, American audiences will no doubt know him as Who Killed Roger Rabbit.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah.
Okay.
played the police officer who had been...
He did not play the rabbit.
Was being revived because he had been, an alcoholic or something like that.
Or was he a private investigator in that movie?
Maybe he was a former police officer who is now a private investigator.
And of course, that was a summer movie from one year in the late 80s. It actually came out in the summer. It was a summer movie.
Late 80s or early 90s. Yeah. Anyway, it was a pretty big deal at the time. I've watched it since, and I'm not sure it holds up too well. But
it doesn't hold up too well, but at the time, it was very clever, and the animation was top class and all that type of thing. So anyway, that's just to get started with a movie note. So summer movie preview for 2014. Last year, I can't remember what we used to sort of go through the movies.
It was the Washington Post's preview section, which they just came out with this weekend. But we're not using that this year because it wasn't out far enough in advance for us to.
Plus, as you noted to me, it kind of sucked.
It was like a very minimal discussion of the movies. Actually, I seem to recall, maybe my recollection's mistaken, but I seem to recall them sort of having more insights. And this time it was just sort of two lines of plot. And a couple of things that the stars in the movie, and that was pretty much it.
So this year, we are using as our guide, as our opus, we both have copies of Entertainment Weekly's Summer Movie Preview. Now, I want everyone to know we are not paid in any way by Entertainment Weekly.
Nope.
In fact, we both had to go and buy
our own
copies.
We're not really paid in any way, it's by anybody.
We're not paid anyway, and we actually had to pay for our own copies of the Summer Movie Preview. So,
yeah, I had a little trouble getting mine. I went to the Barnes & Noble, which, by the way, always a depressing exercise. Because nobody goes to the stores anymore. I mean, they're going to close. There's no way that's staying open.
I like going to the bookstore.
Oh, I like going there, but there's nobody buying anything. They had one person at the counter, but but it was in a weird spot. It wasn't next to the other entertainment stuff, so it took me too long, and I got frustrated.
All right, so there you go. But again, I feel like you've just sort of bad-mouthed Barnes & Noble, and I also feel at some level you're bad-mouthing Entertainment Weekly.
No, I'm okay.
I'm going to bad-mouth them because I had to drop $7 for this thing.
Is that what it was?
Something like that. It wasn't cheap.
Cool.
Anyway, we're going to use Entertainment Weekly summer movie preview as
$4.99.
All right, well, fair enough. With tax. we're going to use their magazine as our guide through two episodes of summer movies. As in previous years, we're going to play a trailer, and then we're going to have our thoughts about the film.
Yeah, we don't have trailers for all of them because it would take forever. But we're going to talk about more movies than we have little trailers for, but we'll have trailers where appropriate, where we listen to them in advance, and they seemed pretty decent. We're doing it chronologically, one thing worth noting. So the magazine and our podcast will be set up it starts from the beginning of the summer and goes through the whole thing.
About month to month.
Right.
And are we going to do predictions this year?
I think we should if we keep track of it. Do you have a piece of paper where you can keep track? Because I don't have anything.
I do have a piece of paper. Let me get that for you.
Does it have koalas on it?
No, this is actually legit stationery that I bought. It is not stolen stationery from any institution. There you go. That is the sound of my proper stationery. So, yeah, I'm going to note. And I guess what are we going to predict? If we think the movie's going to be good? Is it going to...
I thought it was two categories we should do. We should say success, yes or no, and critical success. Like financial and critical.
Okay.
And it's a yes or no. And pretty much we can just look at what the Metacritic score, Rotten Tomatoes score. Is it above average? You know, and that'll be good and it's bad. And financially, I think we're going to have to use some judgment because all these movies have different standards of what financial success is. Almost all movies seem to make money now when you take them globally. Like back in the old days, you'd have movies that literally would not make as much money as it cost them to make. But nowadays, all the big movies, once they go around the world and everything, they seem to come out net positive, but sometimes not so positive as they'd like.
You know, personally, I think we'll just go by whatever it says on Wikipedia. So if Wikipedia says the movie was a success financially, then...
Fair enough.
All right, so do we want to start with a trailer to get into things?
Well, no. The first thing we have is the X-Men's Days of Future Past, and I don't have that trailer for that.
This is a film I know... We emailed each other lists of films to talk about.
Right.
I'm going to preface this now. I have never seen an X-Men movie, but
none?
I did... No, I've never seen any of them. It's just not my thing. Hmm. But I do know that you've seen a couple and you have some strong opinions. So X-Men, Days of Future Past, go.
Well, So people who know what's going on with this movie series, they basically did a couple of movies, two, three movies with the original cast, which include Jean-Luc Picard and Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry.
Romaine Stamos.
Who's the one who played... to play another people. Yeah, that's right. Rebecca Romijn was the blue person.
Famke Janssen.
Yes. How did you know? She's something gray in the movie. So they did a couple like that.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Then they did First Class, like X-Men First Class, which was like it went back in time to when the characters who were...
But they did do a whole... But there's been a whole series of X-Men movies. Yeah, Ian McKellen. Or Sir Ian McKellen.
Right.
There's been a series of X-Men movies with those guys.
Right. Okay. They did the first, the other ones. Then they kind of went back in time where these people started, like origins of it and things like that. And that was with Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy playing those who are older folks and the other things. And then Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, has been all over the place. Like he's traveling through time. I don't know what's going on. He's in all of them. Then they had some special Wolverine movies. Very confusing. So now they're kind of smashing them together a little bit. It's like that Star Trek when they did The Next Generation and they had Kirk in it.
I think it is the same thing, yes.
Right, because they had some time travel because like Wolverine gets sent back in time, so you see the main picture. He's with the younger versions of the people. He's with older versions. And somewhere along the line, they suddenly decide Wolverine doesn't age as well as healing very, very well.
Okay.
But so that's the deal. I'm not interested in seeing it at all.
Why not? Because you have seen some of them.
Yeah, it's too much. I mean, it's confusing. I mean, we're going to talk about this in the context of Spider-Man as well, where I get the fact that they can make money doing movies this way, but I'm not interested in seeing 18 parts and variations on similar movies. They just, at that point, they're not events anymore. It's just, it's TV on a big screen.
But I'm going to say something here. I think we have now reached Hollywood has gone through phases where blockbusters, then there was blockbuster sequels. And then after that, the latest fad was reboots. where you go back to the start,
mm-hmm.
and you normally bring in different actors. This is the first of its kind now where regular franchise and reboot are mixed into one movie. This is the first movie where this has happened.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really a reboot in the same way, because they're not redoing people. The same plot lines. Reboot is usually like, we're going to do start over again.
But they did. Isn't First Class the whole point? It's different actors playing the same dudes when they were younger.
Yeah, but I don't think of that. No, a reboot would be like when they did Total Recall with the guy.
That's a remake. That's the Total Recall with Colin Farrell was a remake. It was the same movie remade. In the same way,
the Star Trek stuff is a reboot.
That is a reboot, yes.
Because they're kind of going over the same ground again with the fresh take. Or like the Batmans were
reboots.
Like when they went from the one version to the new version. And
but Total Recall with Colin Farrell.
Yeah, that's a remake.
That is a remake.
X-Men, I don't think of being a reboot. It's just like they jumped around in time. Anyway.
Retread?
It's just too much. Like rehash. It's too many different things, and they got 80 million different characters. The same reason I'm not too into the Avengers thing.
Let me ask you a question.
It's like throwing so much against the wall, they figure you'll show up.
So let me ask you a question then. Even though neither one of us are self-confessed fans of this franchise, do you think, you've talked about how the X-Men movies, you know, Wolverine has his own series of movies. They've got guys playing the guys now, and everyone, and this movie is everyone in it. Do you think the X-Men franchise, like a black hole, it is just now imploding upon itself? And therefore, if that is what's occurring, do you think the audience just don't care anymore? Because at some moment you can oversaturate your market.
I think the theory is they're like the new comic books. Anybody who's into the comic books never stops wanting them. They don't just drop off. So the theory is you could have these go on indefinitely.
Okay.
And they've got these intellectual property pieces, the Marvel relationship and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know if it would collapse on itself. It just at some point it becomes fungible from my perspective.
Where do you go from here? It's like a substance rather
than a movie. It's just we put some of these things out and go ahead and watch them.
All right, so X-Men, I'm going to write on my bit of paper here, I have an E column for Eric and a Z column for Zeph, or that should be Z.
Yeah, and each one of them have a financial success, yes. Critical success, I'm going to say no.
All right, so you're going FYCN. See, we have these are all the abbreviations. I'm actually going to think, I think it's going to financially bomb.
Oh, all right.
Not bomb, but it's not going to be a blockbuster. So financially, no. And the reason I say that is, as I believe, it's too much. People don't know where they are now. I know who's not going to this movie.
You know what's going to make it a financial success is Jennifer Lawrence painted all blue.
Okay.
Which I didn't like. It's kind of funny. She was in underneath. Apparently, it's some sort of bodysuit. I'm going to say not really naked.
I'm going to say that this will be a critical success.
That's weird.
Because
if it's a critical success, it's not going to be a financial non-success.
I think it's one of those things where the critics will go, yeah, it's a pretty good movie. I just don't think it will make the kind of blow-away money that the Avengers did.
All right.
There you go. X-Men.
Next movie.
Trailer time.
By the way, Entertainment Weekly has, like, some movies they do, like, 6 pages on, so you heard me rustling pages because I was trying to figure out where the next movie would start, and here we have it. Now, let's see if... I have to do this, don't I?
Again, this is to show Entertainment Weekly, listen to the love we are giving you. So please feel free to send me a check for $4.99.
Oh, hey, look, it's the ice. Why is it so big?
So it doesn't melt. It's actually really interesting how they do it. It's this one company out in Boston that...
That went south so fast!
The American West is a terrible place in time. Everything out here that's not you wants to kill you. Angry drunk people, hungry animals, outlaws. Oh, the doctor.
I couldn't save her.
She had a splinter.
Doc, what the hell were you supposed to do?
I'd like to welcome a new member.
I'm
laughing already.
I know. This is probably be the movie that we have the widest split on. It's A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Okay.
By Seth MacFarlane.
Yes.
Most famous for that cartoon
Family Guy.
But he's done some
produced the movie Ted.
Ted.
And directed it.
And he's directing this thing too.
And he's also, we talked a couple of episodes ago about the reboot
Cosmos. He's behind that. He's making a good living, that's for sure. He can sing, all this sort of stuff.
He's for sure.
But I do not buy into any of his comedies whatsoever.
You don't?
No.
Did you see Ted?
No.
Okay. You should watch
it. I don't understand why American Family, is that what it is?
Family Guy.
Family Guy. Yeah. He does American Dad, too, doesn't he?
I don't watch that. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't understand why
it's just not that funny.
See, I thought Ted was hilarious. I'm going all in right now. Every summer, there's one comedy that goes through the roof.
We should mention it's got Charlize Theron and Liam Neeson, Amanda Seyfried, however you pronounce that, and Neil Patrick Harris. See, right there, Neil Patrick Harris, for all his success on
TV, Doogie Howser,
How I Met Your Mother, Doogie Howser, all that sort of stuff.
Hosting the Tonys.
Yeah, host the Tonys. He has not had a good movie role, I think, ever.
Also has Gilbert Gottfried. And Bill Maher is in the movie. Like, Seth MacFarlane's gone and got people to be in it. There's someone else who's in it, but I can't read my writing. Liam Neeson is in it.
Liam Neeson is in it, yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I think he's... Every summer, there's a comedy that goes through the roof. This is, like, the first one in. I think this is coming out in...
The 30th of May.
I think this is going to be the one that... It's going to suck up all the I'm in a mood for a comedy dollars. I think he's funny. I think he was a... I actually enjoyed him when he was Oscar host. I think he's talented.
Yeah, he's pretty good hosting. I like that.
I think he's
I think he's good at producing things. He's not very funny, and I don't like his jokes.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's going to matter too much that he may not be funny. He's got a bumper cast around him. I think it's going to be this generation's Blazing Saddles.
Oh, that's wrong. I love that you went there because, of course, he talked about the connection of Blazing Saddles. This is so un-Blazing Saddles, it's ridiculous.
What does it matter? It's a Western.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
Okay, I'm going right now.
It's going to be a financial success, no doubt.
All right.
But it's totally going to be a critical bomb. I mean, critical they will bomb, hate it.
And Eric says, no, I'm going to go financial success. I'm going to go, it's critic proof. I'm going to have it always.
You can't. You have to pick yes or no. Critical.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
Positive or negative?
It's going to be, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's going to be red. On Rotten Tomatoes, on the website,
rottentomatoes.com. Is that good or
bad? Red is good. It's when it's like a green splat that it's bad. That means it's a bomb.
So you're saying critical success.
Critical success via Rotten Tomatoes. In terms of what like the New York Times say, I don't think it's going to matter.
Well, the Rotten Tomatoes is just an average of the critics.
I'm giving it a thumbs up.
It doesn't matter. You're not on the list. Although maybe they should put our stuff on the list.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, of course, we haven't seen the movie. I think they do. I think they reserve the reviews for that for the people who've actually seen the movie.
I'm going to give everyone a warning right now. If you don't follow us on Twitter, you need to start following us on Twitter because we're going to be hashtagging these movies like crazy to try and generate interest in our show.
So hashtag doesn't help.
It doesn't.
No.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
I'm sure you are because you like his stuff.
I think he's just funny.
It's just bad.
I think he's funny. Anyone who opens the Oscars with like a musical number about breasts, I give that fella two thumbs up.
Yeah.
He got himself into trouble with that. I know the people in Hollywood didn't like that. They're very selective about what they... When they're laughing at themselves, they need to be right.
A lot more people than just the people in Hollywood didn't like that. But yes, they were among the groups that didn't like it.
I liked it. And I've always liked the talking dog on Family Guy. The cartoon talking dog with the British accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kelsey Grammer's on that show. Kelsey Grammer's on... Okay, so who's next? We're staying with the number a million, am I correct?
That's true, we are.
Look at that segue.
In the preview...
She's my neighbor, not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah.
I'm playing the preview mostly because it's just a very cliched preview.
Sure. Without this deal, we're done.
What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
This is just business.
Guess what? We're out of money. I mean, I don't know what else to do, JB.
Hey, how fast are they pitching cricket? I think I cracked this.
It's called Million Dollar Arm. We find the first...
All right, so he just said the name of the movie, which
Million
is
Dollar Arm.
Million Dollar Arm. Plot is John Hamm, who's a sports agent. He's lost his folks. He lost his clients, you know, so he's going through the Jerry Maguire.
Folks. You mean his parents?
His clients.
Oh, okay. You know, like, sorry.
He's going through the Jerry Maguire type of thing.
Yeah.
And he suddenly gets an idea to go to India to get somebody who plays cricket, who's a cricket bowler.
Okay.
To use our cross-Atlantic stuff.
Yeah.
And to come be a baseball pitcher.
I'm coming. Do you want me to come strong with my prediction?
Well, it's almost like the movie doesn't matter. I put it on the list here just to talk about John Hamm and where John Hamm's life is going to go here from here. So
I'm going to tell you where it's
going. He's really a big star, you know, now because of Mad Men. Sure. Isn't he?
I don't think so. And I'll tell you why when you finish.
Well, he's a big TV star. He certainly gets a lot of attention. He's getting in movies. He was in that Kristen Wiig movie. Yes, it was Bridesmaids. He was in Bridesmaids.
He was in Ben Affleck's The Town.
Yes.
He was the FBI agent.
Wasn't he in the one with Keanu Reeves, The End of the World?
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That was a remake.
Yes, it was a remake. It's not a reboot.
And I think he has the potential to be a big deal. What I can't... Like, his trajectory here, he's just doing John Hamm in different guises. And what's interesting, actually, if you watch Mad Men... Do you watch Mad Men?
No, I do not.
You don't watch TV.
Well, I do. I just don't watch
Mad Men. No, you don't watch ATV. Because there's no shows that we ever talk about that you're actually watching. So, officially,
you don't
watch
TV. No, but I know about them.
Yeah. So, he's playing a much more down-on-his-luck kind of version of John Hamm. It's a little weird because he was the whole point of it originally was what a suave guy he was and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, so I don't know. I think he could do it. I'm not sure he's doing the right things to do it. Listen, if George Clooney can end up being who George Clooney is, there's no reason John Hamm can't. He's no worse an actor. He's probably equally good-looking. I should mention it's got Asif Bhatt. Well, I guess we'll talk about the movie.
We did a whole show about George Clooney, so please go back and listen to that. I will say the difference between John Hamm and George Clooney. George Clooney, early in his film career, his early film roles are actually all quite varied. The Peacemaker, a romantic comedy that bombed, the one with Michelle Pfeiffer, an all-out comedy, something with the Coen brothers. I don't want to sit here and say John Hamm will not be a star. Not perhaps on George Clooney's level, but I want to wait and see a little bit. So far, the only thing that John Hamm seems to be famous for is kind of playing himself.
Well,
and I'm not sure he himself, in a weird way, there are plenty of actors who spend their whole careers playing themselves, but themselves who they play resonates at a certain level.
Yeah, but George Clooney may have done different movies, but he was still always playing himself. He still only really plays himself. It's not like he's ever played like some...
I think this movie is going to be a critical bomb and a financial bomb. One, I think no one's interested in this movie. I don't think it's not a sports film. You're dealing with some, you know, it's cricket. I understand, yes, I'm sure at some level they want to market to the Bollywood crowd. If you want to market to the Bollywood crowd,
I don't think it has anything
to do with Bollywood type action in it, like Slumdog Millionaire with dancing and rose petals.
I don't think it has anything to do with I don't think they're trying at all for that. They're trying for a sports movie. Okay. It's a sports movie.
Yeah, and most sports movies of this ilk bomb. Think of what's the one? There's been loads of super agents or scouts go and find basketball players. Kevin Bacon did one. Nick Nolte did one. They did one where they discovered
Shaq. 30 years ago?
Over the last 20 years.
They just did the one with Clint Eastwood and...
Yeah, that bombed.
I don't know if that bombed.
Bomb.
I don't think that bombed.
But you've named another one that bombed. Kevin Bacon's done one. It bombed. I think he did The Air up there with Shaq.
Well, that's not going to count. That's not like a real movie.
Nick Nolte's done one where he plays a down-on-his-luck scout looking for someone to transform the team. These stories people are not interested
in. What, 1986? What are you talking about?
If there's a history of bombing, then this one's going to bomb.
The one that's the one probably that's you might be thinking of is that Disney one where the old guy ends up being a pitcher and he's pretty successful.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
The Rookie.
Right.
Not to be confused with The Better Rookie, which is Clint Eastwood and Charlie Sheen as the cops in the auto division.
Yeah,
movie of the same name, rest much better movie.
The movie has Asif Manvi, who's known from comedy, the Jon Stewart show and other things.
Really?
Alan Arkin is in the movie. You know, he doesn't do junk movies. And Lake Bell, who is, there's like a set of actresses.
Is that a guy or a girl?
No, it's a girl.
Okay.
Lake Bell and Amanda Peet.
I've never heard of her.
They're just those dark-haired,
yeah,
whatever.
They tend to be in movies that bomb. This movie is going to bomb. It's going to critically bomb. John Hamm, you go back to doing Mad Men.
All right. So you're going to say no on both.
I've put a DB for double bomb. Because I don't even have to do critical.
It's complicated that way.
I understand it. I understand my ranking system here.
Will you understand it a year from now when we try to review it and see who was right?
Can I stop for a moment? No,
I'm going to say financial, no.
Financial, no.
But critical,
yes.
Yes.
All right. Put a line under that. That's FNCY.
Yeah, I'm not totally optimistic about the critical, yes, but we'll see.
Double bomb. That's my first double bomb of the day. Next movie. And I think what we're doing next, if following along in my Entertainment Weekly.
Give me a moment.
And while Eric queues up the next trailer, I want to say this. Last year, we kept rankings of the summer movie preview editions in terms of our predictions. And I remember when we were finished, when I went back over the notes, I had clearly won outright.
Oh, like whatever.
I had clearly predicted how the summer was going to go. And then all through September, I kept saying, yeah, we need to review our scores from the summer movies. And for some reason, we never did it. So I noticed this year you're being very gung-ho now on this episode in May about, yeah, we need to keep track of our predictions. Then I'm going to hold you to it this year.
People can't see Zeph's grin because he knows full on, he doesn't know whether he won or lost or what happened.
I dominated. I dominated.
Prove it. You could bring the materials here and prove it, but you didn't.
I dominated in the same way that this next movie is going to.
I want to give it its own time. So.
All right.
That's in there. Whatever it is they're guarding so carefully. It's real.
Can you kill it?
I believe something can.
A monster.
No, a god.
Anyway, so
that was a full-on Christopher Nolan trailer, though, wasn't it? Was zoom. And bow, and but he's going to do a movie.
So it's directed by Gareth Edwards.
That was a full-on Christopher Nolan trailer. That is the trailer for that is.
That's Godzilla.
That's Godzilla,
right? Bryan Cranston stars.
Yeah, whatever.
Kent. What do you mean, whatever? I mean, he's very hot.
We'll come back to him shortly.
Breaking Bad.
We'll come back to him shortly.
I'm sure you didn't watch it. It was on TV.
I didn't watch Breaking Bad. No.
Ken Watanabe.
I think it's Ken Watanabe.
Watanabe, you're right.
And he was actually in Inception.
Inception, yeah. That's the main thing that people would know him from. I think years ago he was in that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
He was also in
been a ton of Asian
Batman
movies.
Begins.
If you watch a lot of Asian movies, you've probably seen him.
He's in Asian / Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah,
pretty much his came to him. But he's a very good actor. I think he was in Last Samurai.
Well, I mean that's what like so this is there's been a couple of Godzilla reboots. We had the one with
I think there's really only been one. In my mind there's only been one Godzilla reboot. Because I think anyone who knows Godzilla knows he's a Japanese he's like Sherlock Holmes in the West. And not that he's like
I mean like the original version they went through a lot of iterations where it got to be very comical and a jokey type of thing.
But what I mean is in Japan you get a Godzilla movie every 4 months.
Right.
But Hollywood has really only grabbed Godzilla seriously the one time. Really, that was about 15 years ago, the Matthew Broderick version.
Yeah, I mean, Godzilla was a big deal in American cinema in the sense that it got brought over here and a lot of people in their childhood remember watching these all the time.
But it's not a big deal in that Hollywood has never really grabbed. This is only basically the second time that Hollywood, and when I say Hollywood, I mean that very broad sense of English-speaking cinema.
Mm-hmm.
This is really only the second time that English-speaking studios and cinema have gone, we're taking Godzilla. You are correct. All the Japanese versions of Godzilla that have been dubbed into English, yes, cult following, people like you and I have watched them.
Well, it's but more than a cult following.
What I mean is that, but they're ultimately Japanese productions. This is the first time that, the second time that Hollywood has gone, we're taking Godzilla and we're giving him the full Hollywood rub down. And I am unbelievably psyched for this movie. This movie is going to destroy everything.
Yeah, this
just like Godzilla.
I expect it'll be the biggest movie of the summer. I think it's going to be critically well received. The whole point is they've taken a serious tone. This, like the Matthew Broderick one had some funny stuff too, a little bit jokey. And then what they've said is no, it's a monster movie, and now we have the ability to make a serious monster movie, and it's going to be a big hit.
That's a great point.
One thing to point out, however, Godzilla's the good guy.
Oh yeah. You root for Godzilla.
No, not just that you root for him, but he's saving the Earth from other things. That's the whole plot.
Spoiler.
No, it's not a spoiler. It's right in the it's right in the preview.
Yeah,
there.
But
if you're watching the video, you would have known. Which, by the way, Zeff sent me that trailer. It's the Asian trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's why Ken Watanabe got a lot more time than on the American trailer. It's more Bryan Cranston. But this trailer in particular makes it very obvious that the world is dealing with some sort of other monster attacks.
Yeah.
And they bring Godzilla out of retirement. I don't know where they bring him from, but they bring him out and he is fighting them off.
I appreciate that Godzilla is the good guy.
Well, he's supposed to fight him off.
But for a moment, don't have any illusions. He's still going to be smashing planes.
Oh, yeah,
stuff
yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He may be a good guy, but he's still smashing stuff up. And for me, that's what I want to see.
Did you ever see Pacific Rim last year?
No, I did not. No.
See, you really should see that before this, because I think Pacific Rim laid a lot of groundwork for this movie to be received by the public. It was very good. It was enjoyable.
I'm going to hit you with some factual trivia.
As opposed to fictional trivia.
Yes. The dude that made Pacific Rim, whatever his name is.
I don't know.
Gilberto Alonso or
Del Toro. Alfonso Cuarón. No, that was Gravity.
Whatever. But the other
one. You're talking about Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
He was actually asked about Godzilla coming up, and he said, I'm really excited. And then some hack put it to him, how would you, you know, would you ever envision Pacific Rim and Godzilla being in the same movie? And he kind of laughed and he said, you know, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah, you know, so I do think at some level,
it all depends upon which studios own them.
If Godzilla's done well and someone has the rights to these things, I'm sure someone out there is thinking of having Pacific Rim and Godzilla in the same movie. That's all I'm saying. And he has said, the guy Guillermo del Toro, he has said.
It could actually be done without really having to like twist it around like the way that, because, you know, it's a monster, it's on Earth.
Let me tell you something for free.
It's a relatively contemporaneous Earth, although the...
I'm old school Godzilla. I don't need any other dudes in it but Godzilla. You just can have, oh, can we put Godzilla and Spider-Man in the same movie? I'm not interested. Godzilla enough. Godzilla alone is enough to get me there. Godzilla and King Kong in the same movie, who cares? We've got Godzilla. Yeah. While you look through, because I think, are you starting to look for other trailers or? Are you,
well,
because I want to make a quick comment.
We're having a little bit of a technical issue, so I'm hoping that the next couple of movies.
Okay, well, I can ramble on for a moment.
Well, no, we could talk about another movie. Next one doesn't have a trailer.
Let me say something about Bryan Cranston. Bryan Cranston is like John Hamm. He's like a crappier version of John Hamm. Bryan Cranston, no one is going, oh, I'm getting down to the cinema to watch the latest Bryan Cranston movie.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Well, those people, if they are, then they are the sort of people who I don't want to be sitting next to. Because I've not seen Breaking Bad. So other than Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston is Tim Watley from Seinfeld. And Malcolm in the Middle. That's his claim to fame.
You're beginning to sound like a 60-year-old man who like has not kept up with anything going on.
He's done one TV show. But Breaking Bad, and I'm not saying, everyone says it was a great show. I'm not saying it's not a great show. I'm just saying I didn't watch it. So as someone who didn't watch it, I'm not sitting here going, oh, let me go and say, oh, Bryan Cranston's in it. Yeah, great. No, Bryan Cranston is not Matt Damon. Bryan Cranston is not George Clooney. Bryan Cranston is like John Hamm. These guys, they've got some successful TV shows under their belt.
He's a better actor than any of those people you just mentioned.
Okay, they've got some successful TV shows under their belt, but I'm telling you right now, the star of this movie is Godzilla. Any other person who's in it, great, good for them. I'm going to sit in a movie and I'm going to sit there while Godzilla's like eating a train. I'm going to sit there and go, this is great. And then, oh, look, so-and-so's in it. But I'm not going to the cinema because all these dudes are in it. There's one star to this movie. It's Godzilla.
He was in Argo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and he's very good in that.
There you go.
But again, I'm like, he's
in The Lincoln Lawyer.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
But again, tell me who's in Godzilla. Godzilla. That's all that counts. It could be Godzilla and all kinds of dudes, little, you know, Japanese unknown actors from Hollywood. I'm not going to care. Godzilla is in it.
We may have to take a brief pause.
Oh, do we have some technical difficulties?
And some rather tragic ones.
All right, let's hold on one moment. We're going to stop the show for a moment, but don't go away. All right, so for those of you that didn't notice, we had a slight pause there. We had a technical difficulty.
Shockwave difficulties on the computer, which caused all of my preset windows with movie trailers set up to crash.
And but thanks to the magic of podcasting, it was basically 2 seconds, and you had no idea how long we stopped for.
But because we're honest people, that's why we told everybody.
So we just finished talking about Godzilla. It's a smash. I think critically it's going to do very well.
Yes, all around. Yep, no problem there.
Okay.
Do you think it will be the biggest grossing movie this summer?
When's it coming out? Middle of May?
Yeah, yes. It's kind of early.
I
agree.
I think so. I think that's
Think of any that we're else we're going to get to, but we'll keep our eye out if we hit one that we think, oh, that might be bigger.
So I will ask them, yes. But
the only thing, I guess one of those cartoon, like, kid movies could beat it or something like that. Probably not, though.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, like the movie that all the kids go to, but I'm going to exempt that because that's really not a fair fight.
Right. So next movie we have on our thing I don't have a trailer for is Neighbors, real quickly. Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Zac Efron. Dave Franco, is he related to James Franco?
I don't know. I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there you go. I'm not going to bother checking. Anyway, so it's supposed to be like a couple, Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne, and a fraternity moves in next door to them. Hijinks ensue.
I think it's going to be quite funny.
I think it'll be right.
Do you know what I think? It's going to be one of those films where you end up going to it because you can't get into the one you wanted to see, and you're going to walk out and you're going to tell people. I think it's going to run all summer. It's not going to be a monster hit like Hangover. And I'm not talking comedies. It's not going to be a monster hit like Hangover. It's not going to be a monster hit like $1 million in the West, which I've said is going to be the monster hit. So I now can't turn around and say this one's going to be bigger.
Right.
But I think it's going to
be consistent.
I think you're going to go. I think you're going to be entertained.
Yeah. I don't really see Seth Rogen in this role. I mean, I guess he's trying to get past just being Seth Rogen and everything. He's supposed to be like the serious guy, but
he is Seth Rogen.
Rose Byrne is perfect for that kind of role, although I'm not really a big fan of her as an actress.
Oh, see, I'm a huge Rose Byrne.
If you're looking at this in Entertainment Weekly, we're not a
fan.
Really?
Oh, I love her. Yeah, I think it's because she's really cute. I don't know what she's been in. The only thing I've seen, the only thing I've seen her in from start to finish is Sunshine.
She British?
No, she's Australian.
Yeah, well, whatever. Same thing. The
Danny Boyle sci-fi film Sunshine, which if you haven't,
she's
seen
in that.
Yep, she is.
That was a lot of years ago.
About 6-7 years ago. Great movie.
She was in that
Sleeper
that TV show that ended up being on Netflix or DirecTV only or something.
Damages.
Like that. Yeah. And she was pretty good in that, actually. Right. But it's kind of funny. On the same page as in Entertainment Weekly's Neighbors is Palo Alto, which is a James Franco movie, which is sort of a dramatic thing where plays some teacher
and hitting on an underage girl, which is what he was caught doing the other week.
Next page, I also don't have a clip for this Maleficent. Maleficent.
I think it was Maleficent, actually.
Maleficent really sounds like a, like inefficient, you know, like it sounds like a description. It sounds like a it
sounds like you've got scurvy.
Ooh, an adjective versus
my diet is maleficent.
Anyway.
All right.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Angelina.
It's a Disney movie.
Is it?
Yeah, it says Disney's new take on its anime.
She's playing the bad person from Sleeping Beauty. I saw like one trailer when I was checking trailers where they started with the animation from Sleeping Beauty and then they kind of transitioned to the people. And I don't know if that was just for the sake of the trailer or actually part of the plot.
Well, I think it is a real actor movie, though.
Definitely. But what I can't tell is do they actually start the movie with the animated Sleeping Beauty and then they segue into live stuff?
I don't know.
Anyway, the only interesting thing that seemed about it is while she's playing the bad person, apparently it's not like an out-and-out villain. It's like a troubled villain. I think maybe it's supposed to be a little like the Wicked, the play, right? With the green witch in Wizard of Oz and how even evil people have their problems too kind of thing. I think maybe that's the idea.
Do you see me nodding? But that's the nod where you're just talking and I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never seen Wicked. I don't have any idea what it is, right?
The play?
It's something to do with Wizard of Oz?
Oh, it's the Wicked Witch of the West. Was that the green one or the East? I can't remember. Anyway, it's her as a child and how...
Oh, so it's a reboot.
Kind of, yeah.
Prequel.
I don't know if that really counts, you know.
I've never seen. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a bit of
next movie.
We don't need to talk about
Ba-dum.
Chef. Yeah, next movie. Getting back to our
into
big
June.
Movies.
Yeah, here we go. Booyashaka.
Please, computer work.
Oh, if not, we'll have to stop the recording again. It breaks my rhythm, too, you see, because when I'm in full flow.
I don't know how many words there are in this.
Bring it up! All the way!
Dad, you can't keep spending money on junk. I can break it down strip for parts.
This stuff is what's going to put you through college.
Something in here needs to make this family some money.
We could talk over because the part that it's really the twist here.
Come on, Newell Rack.
That's Mark Wahlberg, if anybody doesn't already recognize his voice. He gets an old truck.
What happened to you?
You know, like the front part of a big rig.
It's not a steal. Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's a truck at all. I think we just found a transformer.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Who originally wasn't going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this.
Then he thought better of it.
I think someone offered him a bag of money.
Where's Optimus Prime?
You know, we got a rule about messing with people from Texas.
That's the bad guy from Lost, too, by the way, just talking there.
All right, so it's Transformers.
Yep, so Transformers 4, although I don't think it's called...
Is it Transformers 4 or Transformers 3?
Well, the trailer says Transformers 4, but really it's Transformers : Age of Extinction.
But it is... Is it the fourth?
It has Kelsey Grammer, too.
Is it the fourth Transformers movie?
Yep. Yeah, they had three with Shia LaBeouf.
I'm not a Transformers fan. I've never seen any of them. I've a good friend of this show, our good buddy Cameron. He likes them. He likes them.
I like the first one. I mean, it was pretty cool. It was one of the early phases of, like, the way they did the computer animation. It was kind of impressive. It just seemed much better integrated than other ones. And it was pretty good. I did not follow up on... I think we saw maybe saw the second one. Definitely didn't see the third. This, you had mentioned it, and I was like, whatever. I didn't realize they were kind of redoing it. A little more interested now.
I think this movie, I'm going to compare it to where we started with the X-Men franchise, which is another franchise I don't watch. X-Men seems it just morphs into all kinds of different movies and casts and actors and people are going to go. Doesn't matter if it's Wolverine off on his own or this dude over here or whoever or reboot. X-Men gets people in the door. I think Transformers is in the same place. And to me, because it's...
Yeah, but now...
It has a captive audience. And if you're a Hollywood guy, you're sitting here thinking, I don't even need actors. If Mark Wahlberg does this Transformers and then asks too much money to come back for number five, you just replace him. Because this movie is going to be proof that you can replace all the human characters from previous Transformers movies and still hit a home run. And at that moment, you've moved into Star Wars territory in terms of how much money you can make. If this movie's huge, because again, the last Transformers had, I think, Shia LaBeouf.
Which is kind of funny because when he first was in it, everybody was thinking he's going to be this great actor. He kind of has fallen apart over the years. And so now it doesn't seem like such a big deal that he was in those.
If this movie's huge...
In a way, I think this is a step up for them.
Yes, because I think we've both said in the past we're both big fans of Mark Wahlberg. I think he's terrific, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My point here is if this movie's big, it's going to prove that you suddenly become... You can print money in Hollywood because it doesn't matter who the actors are. And I don't want to sit here and say I think you can do it with another director because I don't think Michael Bay is some sort of, you know, Steven Spielberg... Even though he's done all four Transformers movies, what I'm saying here is, like Star Wars, this is a franchise now that can exist without characters and without stars. And what I mean is, it's not dependent on those things to be a hit.
Yeah, well, like, I disagree with your assessment as to Star Wars, but
no, okay. But what I'm saying is, if you tried to peddle a Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, an Indiana Jones movie, but without Harrison Ford, no chance. No one's going to see that,
right?
Unless it's some sort of stunt casting, like Ben Affleck will be Indiana Jones in the same way that they're going to try and make Ben Affleck Batman. What I'm saying is, by completely having new cast, I think this movie's going
to
be
But it's not a reboot. It's supposed to be a later point in time post the arrival of these Transformers, and like it's sort of near future. And so,
I'm gonna say right now, I'm gonna say it's gonna make a bag of money. I'm also gonna say it's gonna be a critical bomb.
I'm gonna go with makes money and critically light.
All right, so double hit.
Hit is maybe too strong a word. We're just looking for above average.
All right, so I've just put two arrows because I've forgotten what my notes actually mean. All these letters.
F means financial. C means critical.
Okay, so financial good, critical good. I've got makes money and then B for bomb.
No wonder you can't figure out later on.
Next movie.
Were we supposed to do that for the movies, the little movies that we didn't have trailers for? Like, were we supposed to do that for Neighbors?
No.
Okay.
No, but if you want to throw one in later in the challenge round, you can say, you know, Zeph, I'm going to sit here and tell you that Neighbours is going to be the biggest comedy of the summer. And then I will mark it down, and you will still be judged on it accordingly.
All right. Next movie is another quickie. Oh, okay. I don't know if you even looked at They Came Together with Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler and Colby Smulders, also from...
I kind of read about it. I wasn't interested.
So did you ever see Wet Hot American Summer?
No, I did not. Mm. That's probably
so, like, the idea of this, because I think it's the same director as Wet Hot American Summer, is it's like a... It's a spoof of those stereotypical... Like, Wet Hot American Summer is a spoof of those, like, meatballs, the kids at camp type of movie. And it was really kind of goofy. It felt almost like a sketch comedy more than like a movie.
Okay.
And so this is a spoof of romantic comedies. Like, so it's a spoof of You've Got Mail and all these sort of things. And so they meet in a bookstore and like the previews is like, oh, you like fiction too? You know, kind of thing. But Amy, I think Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler are both very funny in their movies. So I think this could be pretty decent. I mean, I think this type of movie is, you got to have the taste for that sort of spoofy thing to begin with. Cause I remember, other folks who didn't like Wet Hot American Summer, and I thought it was pretty fun.
Okay. So is that a sleeper hit for you, or is it just one that you're interested in?
That's a good question. I'm going to say it is a sleeper hit. I think the names on the marquee, like Wet Hot American Summer, had Paul Rudd was in that also, but at the time not as big. But Amy Poehler, Paul Rudd, I mean, these are pretty big names now.
On the same page of the Entertainment Weekly that we are using as our summer movie guide is actually the film version of Jersey Boys. Now, we weren't going to review that. Clint Eastwood's involved in it. I'm assuming it's the film version of the stage play hit, which I've never seen. I'm going to do your prediction right now. Just quick prediction. This movie's going to be huge amongst like people our age and above. Not us, but our age and above.
How about above our age?
Above our age, yeah. Because everyone I know who's seen this on stage goes, oh, yeah, Jersey Boys, that's great. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I can't imagine. In the same way that, what was the ABBA movie a couple of years ago that's based on Mamma Mia?
That was a play. Well, I guess so.
That's what I'm saying. That thing made a bag of cash. I think Jersey Boys is going to do the same thing. Not interested myself because I've never seen it on stage. I couldn't spot Frankie Valli in a desert alone with a camel. All I know is this movie's going to do well.
All right.
All right, so there you go. We're moving on to June. And why don't we go through June? Because there's a couple more movies in June, and then we'll stop for part one.
Okay. So another trailer, which has French at the bottom for some reason. This may not have a lot of words, but it sounds good. I like the song, too.
The invasion will fail. We lose everything. How do I know this? I live the same day over and over.
Get down! Come find me when you wake up!
You do know what's happening to me.
So, sci-fi Groundhog Day.
It's Tom Cruise in Edge of Tomorrow. I saw a great article, I think, maybe on Grantland
Emily Blunt.
Or Deadspin. Where the movie,
Bill Paxton.
Yeah, the movie's based on, I think, a Japanese comic called All You Need Is Kill. And I read this article that said that was a much better title for a movie than Edge of Tomorrow.
Well, apparently this might be right in the...
Was it in here or not?
Or was it in the Grantland
thing? I think it was in the Grantland thing. Anyway, it's Tom Cruise, and basically it is, as Eric says, it's a science fiction Groundhog Day where he plays this futuristic soldier who keeps waking up.
Basically living the same battle day over and over again. And each time he does it, of course, he's getting better and better at doing it. So by the end of by going through it enough times, he's a super soldier because same battle, he can practice. Emily Blunt apparently is somebody who he believes this has happened to in the past. It's a little confusing from the trailer because she doesn't seem to be aware of it. But in any event, that's the plot line.
So it's like Groundhog Day, but with action.
Directed by
Doug Liman.
Who famous did Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, he also did the first Bourne movie, and he was an executive producer. He did Bourne Identity, and then he was an executive producer on all the others. And, of course, he's the director of Swingers.
Is he?
Yep. Huh. Doug Liman was the director of John Favreau.
There was an oral history of Swingers on Grantland. That was really good.
I want to make a comment here. Tom Cruise was in one of the films that we reviewed last year.
Oblivion.
And, again, Tom Cruise doing sci-fi.
Right. We should give that type of sci-fi. It feels like I think it's a unique type of sci-fi. It's more of like a it's a minimal cast kind of, because Oblivion was the same way. There was like 3-4 characters basically. It's not like a big sci-fi movie like an epic type of thing. It's a local story.
Yep. You know something? I'm going to look at it. I see what you're saying. I'm going to look at it slightly differently. It's wannabe intellectual sci-fi. You have sci-fi where stuff's just blowing up and there's action and there's basically one time travel theme and you don't have to think too hard, but you kind of think that you're thinking. Edge of Tomorrow wants to be like Inception in terms of you've got to go in there. If you just want to see stuff blowing up, you're probably going to get that, but it's going to make an effort, like Oblivion, to try and deal thematically.
Be a little bit thinky.
My issue here with this, I'm not saying it's going to be good or bad. I do think it's going to bomb.
I don't think it'll bomb. Might not do fantastically, but I don't think it'll
Tom bomb. Cruise is no... I've never seen Tom Cruise as a sci-fi guy, first and foremost. And he's given it a good crack. The aforementioned Oblivion.
I thought he was...
They're very good, yes. I thought he was good in Minority Report. But ultimately, that's not sci-fi, that's Spielberg. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of... I don't know...
My problem with him in the sci-fi is I feel like he is
no longer age appropriate for these movies.
That's true. I feel like he's got too much pull, and so he makes the movie move around him, whereas he doesn't like go, ooh, how do I inhabit this role and do it its proper justice. Like I think this would be a better movie. I have no idea who I'd put in that role. It's been a long time since we've done substitutes, but maybe after I see it, I will probably go
Channing
see this
Tatum.
Movie.
Yeah, there you go. Someone like that.
He's picking somebody out.
Yeah,
there.
But I don't think Tom Cruise is age appropriate for this stuff anymore. Mm. And what I mean by that is, and I don't mean in terms of him, I mean in terms of his audience. The sort of people who roll into a Tom Cruise movie are now older. They're our age.
Yeah,
and summer movies are not aimed at us. They're aimed at the 12 to 24 year old. And I don't think Tom Cruise's
name... I'm not sure
name,
that's true anymore, but...
I don't think Tom Cruise's name resonates with them in the same way it does.
No, I think there's a point there. I think you might be overstating it. I don't think they're relying only... If they were really relying 12 to 22-year-olds, these R-rated movies would do really badly because nobody would be old enough for them. But.
Yeah, but they all sneak in because the fella at the gate goes, I'll take your $8, go over there and buy the popcorn and the supersized drink. I mean, the ratings go out the window in the summer. Everyone's going in to see everything. I just don't think Tom Cruise is that guy that he used to be.
No, well, he's not. I mean, that's. I think this will be like Oblivion. Did you ever end up seeing Oblivion?
No,
I did, and it was good, but not great. It was if you wanted to see a movie that had the same.
I suspect this film is gonna
a similar
be
twist to it. Moon with
Sam Rockwell.
Yes, that
great
was,
movie.
That was really good.
Really enjoyed that.
That was real thinky sci-fi, whereas Oblivion was just kind of thinky sci-fi. Which
but the difference with Sam, the difference with a Sam Rockwell movie thinky sci-fi.
That's what it is. It's a blend of explosive action-packed sci-fi and thinky. Because Moon was a pure thinky sci-fi.
Exactly.
There was no
in essence smaller.
Whereas Oblivion
in its
was partly blow up and partly whatever.
I think the same thing is going to saddle Edge of Tomorrow. It's neither one thing or another.
So your predictions? You're gonna go double bomb again? Because I don't know.
Give me your predictions while I decide what I want to do. Because I'll probably go and see it.
I always seem to go first.
I'll go first. Double. I'm gonna go. It's gonna make okay money like Oblivion.
There's no okay. It's yes or no.
Okay, double bomb.
All right then.
I'm throwing double bombs everywhere.
Well, just to be different, I'm gonna say financial success. I feel like this is gonna be and critical bad.
Okay. I forced you into a prediction there.
Well, yeah.
Fair enough. One movie left in June that we're going to talk about. One movie left in this first episode.
Well, I might have a quickie after. One more with a trailer, at least, anyway.
All right. Or maybe make this the... whatever. I'm talking. Aimlessly.
Well, I hoped never to see you again.
What's up, dog?
We're back. We ladies, nobody cared about the Jump Street reboot, but you got lucky.
They even say reboot.
Yeah.
So now this department has invested a lot of money to make sure Jump Street keeps going. The only problem is the Koreans bought the church back, so we're moving you across the road to 22 Jump Street.
You two sons of bitches are going to college.
Yeah.
Oh, so tight.
We'll go around to classes and activities, ask around about the drug, find out who the dealer is.
If you don't have to do this, man, I just don't want you getting hurt.
Is that the same bad guy as the first one?
No.
Oh, it broke my ass.
Anyway, so 22 Jump Street.
Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, yeah, who wasn't in Edge of Tomorrow that we would have put him in. Yeah, instead, right, he's in this.
Right.
In our alternative casting universe.
I assume the double meaning of that opening was very obvious to everybody. That he's busy saying how, you know, bringing back 20, you made so much, you did so successfully, we have to do it. I mean, it's all about the movie. Is, like, he's basically saying, hey, because you guys came back in that reboot movie and it did well enough, you had to come back for a sequel.
It is the secret. It's a movie that cannot, you can't overdo being self-aware. And I think that can sometimes be the danger. I thought 21 Jump Street was brilliant. Every time it comes on telly, I watch it. My dear old mother, she sat through it and laughed. And it's full of bad language and genitalia jokes. Yet she sat through it and laughed. I'm nervous because I want this to be as good, as funny as the first one.
Well, I don't think you have to be nervous because you know what I just realized?
What?
This is going to do way better than your A Million Ways to Die in the West.
It is.
So your prediction that was going to be the biggest comedy is already dead in the water. We're only up to June.
No, I said that was going to be the biggest comedy of the first part of the year. In my mind,
it was the biggest comedy this summer. Rewind the tape. So this is going to be critical success, money success. We're all fine.
See, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a financial blockbuster. I think the critics, unfortunately, are going to be kind of ho-hum about it.
No, they're going to
suggesting we're
they're
not
going to say it's very funny. They're not going to say it's, you know, it's Godfather. They're not going to say they're going to say this is a very funny movie.
I don't think
so. The only possibility is they might say it's the same jokes all over again. But
I think that's what the critics will do. I also think the critics will do what they always do with something that they unexpectedly gushed over first time around.
Right.
Is they will just look to
draw back a little bit.
Second time around. I am looking forward to it. I will go and see it. Me personally, I am worried that it could be a rehash of the first movie. I do believe that this is basically the same actors, the same directors, the same writers, of which Jonah Hill is one. It's the same creative team. I don't think they would have embarked on this without knowing they could bring something fresh to it.
I'm reading right out of the quote that's in Entertainment Weekly, which I don't know if it's an Entertainment Weekly quote, but it's of Jonah Hill where he says, "The only interest for me in doing this movie was to make fun of the idea of doing a sequel." So I think that's a good piece of it, that like basically part of the joke of this is going to be the fact that it's a sequel, just like we heard in that little preview where they're sort of clearly alluding to the fact that the movie is back because you make a lot of money kind of thing. So I think I'd be optimistic. I don't think it's going to be like the Hangovers, where literally the second and third Hangovers were exactly the same movies basically.
I will say this though, comedy sequels never do. And never as good as their first.
No, they can't, because nothing's fresh. It's not brand new.
Whereas action, and I understand their tactic, let's just make fun of the fact that we're in this here. I do worry it could be one joke that goes on an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of,
I want it to
thing
do
is
well,
kind of one joke.
I understand
old guys acting young, right?
I want it to do well. I want it to be great. Like I say, I love the first one. There is a part of me that's just a bit concerned that it's not going to be as good as the first one, and then I'll start thinking worse of the first one. That never happens with action movies for me, because I can always find, it doesn't matter if you thought Die Hard 2 or 3 or 4 weren't as good as Die Hard 1, you still find enough moments in those movies to go, yeah, that's where I went. Comedy sequels, on the other hand, it's a slightly different emotional ride you go on.
Yes.
Yeah, take that.
Real quick note on end of June, or halfway through June, just wrapping up our June movies, there's a movie called The Rover with Guy Pearce and Rob Pattinson, which is a shortly after the collapse of Western economy in Australia, set in Australia. So it looks a little Mad Men.
Looks a little Mad Max-ish.
Not Mad Men, Mad Max-ish. Yeah. But that could be pretty good. I feel like I did about that. It was the movie with the guy from Boardwalk Empire last year. No, the big tall guy who was he was in Superman.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
He was the bad guy in cinema. Superman. He was in like all the movies last summer. We were joking.
Michael Shannon.
Yes, Michael Shannon. Yes. There was that movie that was him like playing a gangster who had a family life, and I was like, I remember when I looked at that, I was like, I really need to see this movie. This will be interesting, and then I didn't see it. So this might be the same thing. That's The Rover, maybe the exact same case. I'm like, hey, this looks interesting, and I probably would forget all about it.
I'm going to write that down, The Rover. I just want to give you a bit of trivia. Everyone involved in that movie was involved in an Australian thriller about 4 years ago called Animal Kingdom that's quoted in the article here. I saw Animal Kingdom, great crime thriller about criminals set in a city, not unlike the movie I quoted at the start. I talked about at the start of the show, The Long Good Friday, which brings us neatly to the end of part one of our summer movie preview.
All right, then.
Till next time, I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice podcast. For more, you can follow us on Twitter @Atlantic_voice. You can email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com, or you can find this show and others on Libsyn.com or on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.